Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lagerman, and Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Carrie Limousine, Wachovia, Sunny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
And so we begin with Sonny's here in the studio. Thanks to John and the whole crowd at Sonny's for dropping by Four Feasts for Four. Hopefully we'll get Lagerman to pull the fork away from the plate for just a couple of minutes here. You like Sonny's now.
Man, I love it. I can eat this every day. I mean, I do. I love the mustard sauce, love the mac and cheese, love the ribs, the beef, the chicken, pork.
Oh, I saw John at lunch on Monday, and I said, you need to bring Sonny's by. And I said, Log, you'll love it. So maybe
we got banana pudding?
Forget the banana pudding.
There's a tray right there. We do? No way.
Oh, yeah.
There's a tray of it.
Tray.
And we all got him to thank. I'm pointing at you.
All I did was
make sure. Oh, they do. They have a banana pudding tray.
I told Sonny's that I told John from Sonny's, if you bring it, we will talk about it.
Mm.
And we'll eat it, too. So there you go, folks. Vic is here. Hey, Vic. How are you?
Hello.
Joe is here. What do you call Curtis? Fuzzy?
Fuzzy. That's Fuzzy.
Why's your hair green?
Fuzzy's here.
Blue hair guy. I mean, teal hair guy. Yeah, that's it. Kind of faded out.
I call him Fuzzy because that's what I call my cat. So he becomes Fuzzy by proxy.
You figure out who it is, folks. Okay, news today. Maurice Jones-Drew did not practice for the Jaguars, and Michael Vick did for the Eagles. And take it away, folks.
I thought he was limited.
Limited. Yeah, I'm
yeah,
sorry. Limited.
Yeah, Maurice
not
was limited.
Speed.
What's his injury?
Ankle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. He had a boot on. Joe, am I on here? Can you hear me?
Yeah, which one are you on? Yeah.
Okay, and then that headset must be off. He had a boot on after the game, right? Maurice Jones-Drew?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he did.
I didn't see it, so I don't know.
He was the official status for him is that he has an ankle and limited. Landon Cohen, defensive tackle, knee limited. Justin Durant, ankle, did not participate. Deji Karim, thumb limited. Uche Nwaneri, foot full practice. Justin Smiley, ankle full. Anthony Smith, which is an important guy for this week, foot limited.
He's expected to play this Sunday.
Darryl Smith, thigh limited. And that's it for the Jaguars. Eagles don't really. Brandon Graham, defensive end, shoulder limited. Stuart Bradley, concussion full. Brent Celek, chest full. Nick Cole, knee full. Todd Harriman's ankle full. Kevin Cobb, concussion full. You know, so that's it. They're pretty much full speed.
Well, you know, Durant, I think that he's definitely iffy. I would think that he's likely not to play.
Yeah,
Sunday.
I think that's a good bet.
What did you see on tape, Jeff, between he and Russell Allen? Is there a drop off?
Yeah, I think there's a little drop off just because Justin's got such great speed. Russell Allen's got really good instincts, though. I mean, so is it a huge drop off? Now, there's some, but I mean, not to where you just go, oh no, you know. But
in a week that you face Mike Vick. Every step.
Well, you want to have the speed guys on the field. I mean, you'd be chasing this guy around all day long. I mean, the way he can run on called runs, and then also if he decides to tuck in and run it. I mean, a Justin Durant is the kind of linebacker you want to have on the field. Doesn't help. So it'll be interesting to see what type of approach the Eagles have. Now, the question that I have is, will Kevin Cobb rotate in? See, when Kevin Cobb was the starter, Michael Vick rotated in. Mm-hmm. Now that Michael Vick's the starter, will Kevin Cobb rotate in? I don't know. I hope he does because, I mean, that's less plays that Michael Vick's on the field.
You know, my concern is that this is a team that has not tackled well in recent years, and Michael Vick is really going to push that envelope. He is really going to give us a good look at whether or not this Jaguars team is any better tackler than last year's team was.
Well, I think they are. I think they are a better tackling team. In San Diego, it certainly didn't appear that way. But
right.
in Denver, they tackled well. had a bad game. The thing that was disappointing, I think, you know, from the San Diego perspective, is that, you know, a backup running back who on the depth chart they got him listed as a fullback, and that's not real good. He was looking like Jim Brown.
Third-year undrafted guy from Coastal Carolina. No one knows the name.
Mike Tolbert.
Little paunch around the waist, you know, around the midsection. And he just tore through them. Very, very disappointing.
That's what they have to get fixed first as
You've
a defense.
You've been saying that for a long time.
And I'm going to keep beating that drum. And one way that you can take a large step into making a better run defense, therefore you get better down and distances on second down and third down, mm-hmm. so you can rush the passer. The nose tackle's got to play better.
But this is not a run-the-ball team.
No, they're not. But if you look at what happened this past week, there were 120 yards gained by LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy, who's a heck of a football player, and he looks a lot better than he did last year.
Yeah, one long run, he is basically he's Brian Westbrook. They like to dump the ball to him.
He's a little stronger.
But you know, it's Michael Vick's 140 yards rushing this year.
Yeah, 103 of them on opening day.
Okay, it's his yards rushing that has them as number two in the league in rushing. They are truly not a number two rushing team. Because half of their yardage is out of pass, plays.
But you know that's what they were when he was in Atlanta. They had Warwick Dunn,
no question.
They had T.J. Duckett, who was never going to be a high carry guy, and they had Vick.
So
and they
when is
171 a game when he was?
So
there.
When is a run not a run? Well, I think when Michael Vick is playing, what you would normally deem a run is not what you're going to see this week. I mean, this is one of these rare games when I don't think rushing the passer is a good idea.
For
the Jaguars.
Well, I mean, you got to stop the run. Terrence Knight's got to play better, Vic.
When you say stop the run, what do you mean stop the run?
Stop the run.
Stop him from running out of pass formation?
No. I'm talking stop the run, McCoy.
They'll stop him.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay. I hope they do, because you can be a better pass defense when you stop the run, mm-hmm. make teams one-dimensional.
I'm worried about him breaking contain. I'm worried about him getting out to the edge, and then the next thing you know, we got a trail of bodies all over the field.
I guarantee you that every coach around the league, if they were in the position that the Jaguars were in this week, okay, facing the Eagles, and they're watching Andy Reid, and what is he going to do at quarterback? You know, Kevin Cobb is healthy. He's ready to return. We expected Kevin Cobb to be the star. I guarantee every coach in the league says, please give me Kevin Cobb this week.
That's how you decide whether or not he made the right decision. Who would you rather play against? If your answer is Kevin Cobb, then Andy Reid made the right decision.
And I think that Kevin Cobb is going to be a really good quarterback at some point. But, I mean, he started how many times last year?
Three games.
Three games, I guess he started in the last 2 years.
Oh yeah, exactly. Because he
started the opener this year,
right? Three starts.
And what's he going to give you that Michael Vick, who's got a whole bunch of starts in Atlanta and the dual threat? You know, what's he going to?
His first two starts, he had over 300 yards passing,
sure,
and a passer rating over 100. I mean, he gives you that. You've got DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin and mm-hmm. Brent Celek. So the question is, has Mike Vick evolved as a passing quarterback?
He has, and that's the thing that I think scares opposing coaches. And because Michael Vick now, when it's not there, he can run it. But back in the old days, that's all he did. He'd tuck it and run it. Andy Reid has worked with him for 2 years now, and he's actually escaping and then getting his eyes back down the field and with, you know, a couple big play type of receivers. That scares you,
mm-hmm.
you know, because – that guy, Jackson.
Yeah, he had a 45-yard touchdown last week and a 53-yard catch to go with it.
Maclin.
Quickest thing you've ever seen.
Maclin's, he doesn't scare you like McCoy. I mean, like Jackson. But he's still good.
Yeah.
And that's what is scary, is that now not only does he run the ball, but now he kind of looks downfield,
so
too.
So you got to score some points this week to win, huh?
You know what I really believe they have to do this week? You've got to run the football up their rear ends some kind of bad to keep Vic off the field, to control the tempo of the game, to not allow him to get into a rhythm. Mm-hmm. And I think you can do it, and I really do, because the Eagles have a smaller defensive end group. The tackles are just kind of eh. They gave up a bunch of yards to Javid Best of the Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. And I think you pound Maurice and you pound Rashad Jennings. Mm-hmm. I really do. And if you can do that, you can win.
And let's leave this segment on that note. We'll come back more with Vic, Jeff, and you. 355-NFL 1-800-355-6351. More to come on News Talk Radio. WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Rolling right along here on a Wednesday evening. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato. Feel free to join us as well.
Can we make these breaks NFL1? A little longer? I'm not done with my sonnies.
Well, you had a big plate. I think... A really big plate.
It was a very large plate. I always said to myself, you know, I'm trying to watch what I eat, so I'm not going to have seconds. So tonight I just made sure that the first plate was very large.
First equals thirds on that one. Yeah. So let's grab Kevin, who joins us from Mandarin. First call of the night. Kevin, welcome to Jaguars This Week.
Thank you, gentlemen. Good evening.
Good evening.
Question for Jeff and Vic, I'd like to hear your take on this, too. Right. Vic, this is something you had mentioned in your blog, which I read after I watched the game. I had noticed it in the game myself. The Chargers were just attacking the middle of the field the entire first half. I mean, it was passes over the middle, over the top of the linebackers to the running backs. What was it, Tolbert and Sproles and, you know, Gates was getting in there. That was the weak spot I think they saw and attacked it. How are we going to defend that this week against Philadelphia? Because I can't imagine that they're not going to try the same deal on us.
Jeff?
Well, Kevin, they didn't just attack the middle of the field. They certainly took advantage of some man coverage in which Darren Sproles was the recipient or the receiver. And you can't cover Darren Sproles with a linebacker. You know, you had your best guy on him, and Darrell Smith. It didn't work. Obviously, Justin Durant wasn't available. One of Antonio Gates' touchdowns that he had, not the one in the middle in which nobody was around him, but the one
apparently
at the boundary.
You can't cover Antonio Gates couldn't with anybody.
Couldn't cover Antonio Gates. It wasn't an attacking the middle of the field thing.
Jeff, who was responsible for Antonio Gates for the coverage, for instance, on the touchdown where he was able to...
It was a zone coverage, and I think that David Jones was supposed to squeeze in. But I didn't get confirmation on that.
Well, I did.
He was the end man on the line of scrimmage.
Okay.
Okay, in the corner line and zones lines up, and then he's supposed to squeeze into Antonio Gates. But he wasn't the only guy that was supposed to be there. There was supposed to be somebody else
had
in
to be
there
a linebacker.
Well. Yeah, a linebacker, I think, was supposed to be there.
You're
as
right
well,
on. Jack confirmed it last night on his show.
Yeah. So and I didn't get it confirmed, but if that's the truth, yeah. then that's what I figured it was. But, you know, it wasn't just the middle of the field, Kevin. I mean, Rasheen Mathis got double moved.
Well, Marvin Harrison did that to him all the time.
Yeah, but Vic, I mean, this is, what was the guy's name? Brandon Lloyd?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Brandon Lloyd, was it? Malcolm Floyd. I mean, the move wasn't that good.
It was late in the game.
He's a deep player. Mm-hmm. You don't bite.
No, you give that kind of guy a cushion.
I mean, ugh. Yeah, you know, there was a lot of people that didn't play well defensively, without a doubt. Offensively, they did pretty good, but you can't turn the ball over six times. David Garrard was terrible. Terrible. I mean, he can't play like that for this team to do well.
What is going to happen to David? I this is a big issue for me to watch this Sunday.
He's got to bounce back.
He's not going to get cheered. Let me put it that way. I'm not suggesting that the people are going to boo, but he'll be on a short leash as far as the fans are concerned. In other words, a bad pass here or an interception there, and you know he's going to hear boos.
Oh yeah. Well, he may not.
What's this going to be like for him?
He had a bad day. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that. But I'm going to take the approach, and I hope a lot of fans do as well. It was one game, okay? It was one game. And to be honest with you, when you turn the ball over six times, you should have gotten smoked. Now, I'm talking smoked. I'm talking game over at halftime type of thing, right? But they got some takeaways. They were able to stay in the game. And they actually could have went into halftime down 14-6.
And that's where I point the finger at the defense. They had a chance when it was 14-6 with a minute 50 to play in the first half. Okay, yeah, David Garrard was stinko. There's 1:50 to play. They're backed up to their own 13-yard line. You get a stop here and get a punt in some decent field position and somehow get a field goal out of this so that it's 14-9 at halftime. You get the ball to start the second half. You can actually take the lead with mm-hmm. your first possession of the second half. And the defense not only didn't get a stop so that they got good field position.
Gave them a 43-yard run on the first play.
And the Chargers literally intentionally burned 36 seconds off the clock between two plays at one point so they didn't score too quickly. That's embarrassing.
Well, they got to get some things fixed on defense because that's 2 weeks in a row, two-minute drill. Broncos went down the field pretty quick. What was it, 40-something seconds?
24 seconds.
24 seconds. San Diego was able to do it in a two-minute drill. But, hey, it's 1 week, okay? Got a team coming in here. If you can beat Philadelphia, you've done something.
What are you going to do about this pass defense? I want to hear.
Clean it up.
How, Jeff?
Clean it up.
Tell me how you
coach
clean
him up.
It up.
Get everybody in the right spot.
Do you put Derek Cox back on the field if he's healthy?
If he has shown enough in practice, you know, we don't get to see practice. If he's gotten better in practice and shown that he's ready to come back, then put him back out
if
there.
If Anthony Smith is able to play, who's your starting free safety?
Considine. You know, Considine kind of had to play, you know, I guess double duty a little bit this past week.
Do you play nickel against these guys as your base?
Yeah, I probably would consider playing some nickel, but I'd be careful of that. McCoy's pretty good now.
He can take it to the house.
Yeah, he can go to the house. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had his career day last week against the Detroit Lions. He had what?
120
three yards. Touchdowns, 120 yards. And he looked good now, Vic. I mean, he looked good.
Good pass catcher. I know that.
Well,
he's not just a runner.
He looked good. Mm-hmm. But if you get a win this week, hey, everything's
fine.
Everything's okay.
Everything's fine.
Vic's in a better mood. The glass is half full.
There's no question. You get a win this week, you are looking then at a game for first place in your division. Possibly.
Got to get this one.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think of the Colts Sunday night on the plane right home?
I tip my hat to them. I don't wear a hat. Right, I'm not wearing one right now, but if I was, I would tip my hat to them because that is a big-time response. That is a big-time comeback, bounce back from
getting hammered on opening day.
In the division, and it could have been one of those losses where, you know, I'm tired. We've been at this for a long time. And it always, you know, ends the same way. What the heck? No, they came back and they stopped the run. I didn't think they would stop the Giants' run, but they did. And they were the Colts again.
They look good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's two totally different performances.
You know who didn't look good in the division? I mean, really didn't look good. Not just a team. One particular guy, he quit.
Who?
Chris Johnson shut it down.
He got hurt in that game, though.
Oh, there's some people who wonder how hurt. He
looked like he got
no
hurt to me.
No part of James Harrison.
Well, I wouldn't want any part of James Harrison either.
I mean, he gained 32 yards.
He's a stud.
And he got roughed up.
All right, folks, we're due for news here at the bottom of the hour. More to come. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Well, when the Jaguars win, you all win at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. Yeah, no, you're missing the point. Can I finish my bit here?
Did you take drugs, Joe?
But even when they don't win, we win here because Sonny's came by. Get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Monday or Tuesday after a winning game at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. Joe, I'm sorry if that seemed too negative to you. Welcome back here to the Jack Del Rio Show, presented by Aetna.
I'm sorry, you just said this was the Jack Del Rio Show.
Did I he say got it? To you. Fortunato's in your head.
That was last night, wasn't it? Although I did his television show about an hour ago, so that's probably where it came from. Jaguars this week. Vic, please take it away.
I wasn't prepared for this.
All right, well, then let's grab a call. Thomas joins us from the South Side.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you. By the way, I think the defense did a lot better than they did last year, but that's another subject.
Oh, yeah, no, they were great, yeah.
My thing is, if Grard was number three in his league when he came out, and we stopped him because we said we didn't want him to get hurt, but yet Michael Vick's lighting up the field doing what he does, why can't we let David Garrard do what he does and run the field like he used to? I mean, he was so much better when he did that.
He's not Michael Vick.
Michael Vick.
I mean,
But we don't have anybody to really protect him.
The offensive line protection was good. What are you talking about, Thomas? I mean, offensive line actually played pretty good.
Well, he didn't put points on the board. I don't know.
Hey, Thomas. David Garrard is not in the same stratosphere as Michael Vick when it comes to running the football.
You don't want your quarterback running. Why do you want your quarterback running?
So Todd Bauman could go in?
I mean, you just don't.
I mean, I'm not trying to be funny here. I mean, the Jaguars have an issue here now. I mean, you got to protect the guy you got because Luke McCown is now on injured reserve and you got Todd Bauman.
You know, I don't care if Luke McCown is your backup, and he was their backup. How'd that work? He's gone. I mean, you know, durability is an issue in this league. You have to not only be good at what you do, you have to be able you have to be durable enough to do it week after week. You don't want your quarterback running. I don't understand the people. We've had professional football now in this town for 16 consecutive years, and I think that's we should know that by now.
Well, Michael Vick,
running is not a formula for success or durability at the quarterback position.
It has been for Michael Vick,
he's
but he's
different.
Unique. He is. He is very different, and there's never been anybody like him in the history of the league.
And some would say that you would rather him run than pass because he's not that good of a passer. In his history, he hasn't been.
No.
By the way,
that's about right.
If you go back to 7, 8, 9, the last 3 years, the number one rushing quarterback in the NFL is David Garrard already.
It is.
Yep.
Yeah, because Michael Vick was in jail.
Well, right, exactly. When Mike goes to jail, here he comes.
I know he led the league in percentage of fourth down conversions last year. I mean, on fourth and one,
but
when he quarterback sneaks, you get the first down.
But in terms of rushing yards over the last three seasons, 7, 8, 9, David's number one. So he has run enough.
If Michael Vick were not in jail and
been number one.
Were still a quarterback, he would be the all-time leading quarterback rusher in history, surpassing Randall Cunningham. It wouldn't even be close.
He only needs about 650 yards.
It's a little more than that.
Look,
you add in his 140 from this year, it's 639, I think.
Okay.
This is what we're up against, guys, tonight, this week, probably many weeks. The town does not like David Garrard this week. They want him out.
They don't like him this week. If he plays better this week, then
they'll like him a little more.
Like
but
him better.
You know, I mean, he's right now persona non grata. I mean, he is. They want the backup. And when the Jaguars signed Bauman, I just got this explosion of emails to ask Vic, oh, this is terrible. You know, Bob. They wanted a young guy. They wanted somebody who would give them hope that he would replace David Garrard.
You know,
that's where we're at in this situation right now.
But Victor, had we drafted Tim Tebow, we'd have our backup quarterback.
You've helped in the whole thing now. Yeah, that's yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you get the subtle one, though, the subtlety to that?
What was it?
You'd have your backup quarterback.
That's very good, Joe, because that's what he is in Denver, and that's what he's likely to be forever. By the way, you said that he was.
He didn't play this. He didn't play this past week against Seattle. I know that. I don't know what if he was a two or if he was a third quarterback.
And so I want to get this out.
I'll find out for you.
Good. I want to get this message out to the fans. If you look at the quarterbacks who were available to this team, to Gene Smith, the past 2 years, what you're going to see is that there's nobody there that is. that would have solved that would solve this situation. All right, Colt McCoy can't throw a ball across a two-lane road. Jimmy Clausen didn't do so good Sunday. I mean, Sam Bradford was gone. Matt Stafford was gone. The guys who were available, the Tony Pikes of the world, the Lefevers of the world,
they weren't going to help you.
They weren't going to help you. We've had consecutively bad quarterback crops. But next spring, we got a humdinger coming. A humdinger coming. And I promise you, and I have already said, that if they don't draft a quarterback next spring, I will swim the St. John's at its widest point. I probably shouldn't have said widest point.
Did you say naked also?
Yes, naked.
I thought you
with my underwear on my head.
Oh, do we got tape running on this?
Yes.
So, I mean, it's going to happen. But you're going to have to deal with it this year. Help is not on the way. David Garrard is the quarterback today. He'll be the quarterback tomorrow. And unless he gets hurt, he will be the quarterback for the remainder of the season. So just deal with it, folks, because this isn't going to change anytime soon.
If he's
not your
quarterback,
you've got to wait until next draft.
If he's not your quarterback, things are really bad.
You're not going to win.
Got to have him. Boy, that just silenced the crowd, didn't it?
Yep.
355-NFL-1. 800-355-6351. 4:05 kickoff, by the way. Did you remember that?
Sure. Yeah, got it.
Yep. Late kickoff for y'all on Sunday afternoon. We'll start with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. How is it, Lux?
It's outstanding.
Okay. That's a 1 o'clock
send us a break so I can get back to eating.
I'm working at it. I know. Jaguars pregame show follows at 3 o'clock. Aetna halftime show. Winn-Dixie postgame show. Southern Ford Dealer scoreboard show. And with that, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with another segment in this first hour of Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card. When you purchase at least 10 gallons of Gate gasoline, you'll get $2 in Jag Bucks back. For details, go to Jaguars.com. You can call us. You can tweet us. This is as much fun as it sounds. And we've got one for you, Logs.
Okay.
And it's
bring it on.
It's from Scott One. And he says, could you have Jeff elaborate on the play of Terrence Knighton? What is he seeing on the tape? At Jag's Voice, if you've got a tweet. Loggy?
There were, I would say, 6 plays that were embarrassing.
Such as? Why?
Hartwig, the center, would knock his hands down and push Terrence to the ground. A couple times that happened. Didn't stay in his gap a couple times. Looked slow and lethargic many times. That was the kind of performance that he should be embarrassed by, and I'm trying to be nice here.
What do you think's happened?
I don't know, because he really looked good in the preseason. He looks overweight still. Has he gained weight from the preseason and into the regular season? I don't know. But I mean, this is one of those guys. I mean, you got to have him play.
Cornerstone
player. And play well. He's a cornerstone player, him and Tyson. The offensive linemen, the tackles. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are guys that you got to have play well. And they're expected to play well because they've shown the ability to play well.
But Joe Cullen won't tolerate that.
Vic, the performance that he had should or could send him to the bench.
It was equal to Derek Cox on opening day.
So it was lacking in effort.
It was lacking, period. Whether you want to call it effort. Now, I don't care whether it's effort or ability. It's all about production.
See, when I hear something.
And if the production's not there, then you got to go out.
See, when I
hear. You got to find somebody else.
When I hear something this radical, I want to know what's going on. All right, who's in his head? Or is there an injury? Or is there a personal problem? Is somebody ill in the family? I mean, when you get something that noticeable, that distinct, you got to find out what the problem is.
Well, and because, hey, look, this is just I'm not even tempering these because, you know, most people say, well, maybe your expectations for him are high, and they are. My expectations are high.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the production, my disappointment in his production is not because of my expectations are high for him. They're disappointing because, I mean, for a starter in the National Football League, it wasn't good.
Hey, let's look at it this way. He all of a sudden didn't lose his ability.
No.
All right, so it has to be effort.
I don't know. I don't know.
It has to be.
Does it matter?
Yeah, it does.
You know what matters? You're not getting it done. He's not getting it done. When Landon Cohen came in, the guy that they got from waivers, Detroit, I mean, he looked great. But, I mean, did he look great because Terrence is just playing that bad? I don't know. But, I mean, Landon Cohen, if I'm a coach, I'm sitting there going, hey, Landon Cohen's probably got to play.
Well, Gene Smith said it on his Monday show. He said that it was Terrence's worst game as a pro. He wasn't as colorful in his description as you have been, Jeff, but he let it be known that that was not a good performance, that it was and it had been duly noted.
He's a guy that, I mean, in the preseason, boy, he looked dominant.
Yep.
Before the game, I saw him walking around the field kind of loosening up. And my first thought was, gosh, he looks big. I mean, he looks like big, overweight, big. And he's playing kind of like that. You know, it's a bottom-line business, Vic. You know that. Brian, you know that. Mm-hmm. I mean, and if you're not getting it done, then they got to find somebody else.
Yeah, but you've got a big-time investment in him, and you can't abandon these guys.
I'm not saying,
what's wrong and fix it.
I'm not saying that you abandon them. But you let them know that, you know, hey, that what we saw out there,
right,
that's not good enough. And if you are going to give us that, then you're not going to be active.
I got to tell you, you know, I mean, I'm big on respect for the old players. You know, the game of the 70s, I have a fondness for it. I defend these guys. They were great players, et cetera. And I think they take hits for that, you know, bigger, stronger, faster crap that, you know, everyone's supposed to be now, you know, more so than they were then. But I'm going to say this for the players of today. The players, no generation of players ever played harder than the guys play today. And there is an intensity in this game today that is as strong or stronger than I've ever seen it. So if you're not playing hard, if Terrence Knighton didn't play hard, it will stick out like a sore thumb and you won't be in this league long.
355-NFL-1. Grab a couple calls here before we break for news at the top of the hour. And we will start with Paul in Orange Park. Paul, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Hello.
I've talked to several people, and I'm a Jaguars fan from way back, and I was really excited about this year. And this game was a crucial game out west for them, as far as fan base, as far as audience, and they dropped the ball, and, you know, literally. And I think that, you know, I'm a Gerard fan. I'm way back. I would think that, I don't know why they changed their game plan from this first game to the second game.
Game plan wasn't
got nothing
problem.
To do with it.
Game plan. They just got walloped.
Paul, when you have six turnovers, it's not going to be pretty. It'll give you the appearances that they didn't come to play, they weren't prepared. I mean, there's so many different things that can come to your mind when a team turns the ball over six times.
Plus, I want to give myself a little pat on the back here, because it was on this air last week that I said that I was expecting them to get ambushed. I mean, I thought this was an ambush game. First of all, the Chargers are a better team. All right, everybody understand that? They are a better team. That is a Super Bowl caliber team that if they don't win a playoff game, they have underachieved. So we got to get that straight, first of all. You were going out west to play in their ballpark, a team that is a favorite to win their division and in many cases a favorite to make it to the Super Bowl.
Somebody's got to be a favorite to win that division.
It's not real good. That's a good team. That's a team that has
it's a good team with one of the elite quarterbacks.
Okay. The point is, Jeff, that the Chargers have the ingredients that usually produce success in the modern game. They've got the passer, and if Marcus McNeil was playing, they'd have the pass blocker. They've got the passer, the pass catchers, and the pass defenders. Those corners are good.
They don't have the pass catcher.
Well,
their best one.
Well, Vincent Jackson will come back to them at some point.
And they were coming off a game they shouldn't have lost.
But Antonio Gates, I think you would have to admit, is a pass catcher.
You could argue he's the best tight end in the league.
Right, Joe.
Right? I mean, he's one of the best,
yes,
if not the best.
If you're equating tight end play with pass catching, then he is certainly the premier pass catching tight end in the league. So, I mean, that is a Chargers team that was built for the sunshine, if you know what I mean. They were built for a dry, fast track. And when they get you on that dry, fast track in San Diego, baby, they just whip it around. And if you don't have the pass defenders to keep pace with that, you won't be able to keep pace. You're going to get walloped. The Jaguars right now don't have a pass defense that can keep pace with that kind of a passing attack.
Appreciate the phone call. 3-5-5-NFL-1.
To try to get there, there's a couple things you can do. Now, I said this. If you stop the run and give yourself better down and distances, it becomes easier. Make team one-dimensional. Their pass rush is pretty good.
It was.
Their pass rush is pretty good.
It was.
They've got a young secondary, David Jones, 2 weeks now, right, that he's been with the team.
Mm-hmm.
You had Courtney Green playing safety, his first start ever. First time he ever has started a game. Now, I don't know what happened with Rasheen on that one play, and I don't know what happened with Considine missing some tackles. But that group has so much room that it can improve upon. And so if you stop the run, you get some things cleaned up just from a mental standpoint, you're going to get beat physically. But the problem is they had plays in which they got beat mentally. And they got to get coached up.
Okay, that's fine. I'm with you. I understand what you're saying. If I may give a little sports writer's bent on this, Courtney Green was cut by the Seattle Seahawks, right?
Yes.
David Jones was traded by the Bengals for Reggie Nelson. They decided that Reggie Nelson would be a better option than David Jones. Remember that. Sean Considine was allowed to leave in free agency. You're not dealing with a lot of high draft picks here. You know, it's not as though that's Darrell Revis and...
Your entire secondary has two draft picks in it.
Right.
Rasheen and Derek.
Right. I mean, so, again, this is another case of we're going to have to be patient. You can't build it all. You can't fix it all at one time.
No, I know that.
They fixed the offensive line last year, and now they fixed the defensive line this year, and we got to wait for more drafts to fix more
things. Vic, and I understand that. I mean, it's going to take some drafts to fix. I mean, because you look at the Eagles, and they've been just, I mean, pumping the draft picks in and building that football team.
Yep.
They had 13.
And that's the clearest thing. But I'm not talking about this year's draft. I mean, look at their roster.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how their roster is built. It's with draft picks. But still, you can give untalented players that weren't draft picks, that were cast off from other teams, and they can get beat. Yes, they can get beat. But if you get them in the right position, you certainly have a chance.
I'll let go ahead, Brian.
Let's. I was just saying, we need to leave it on that. We'll come back. We got another hour to talk about it, folks. You can join us 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351, and at Jags Voice with your questions via Twitter. More to come right after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Here we go, hour number two. Callers have been holding on the line, so unless you have something you want to to beat right off the top, we'll go right to it. Julian's from St. Augustine. Hello, Julian. Welcome to the program.
What's up, guys? I'll just
calling about the off the play calling last week. Like, it seems like they run the same plays every week. Like, up the middle, run play. I mean, it seems the same to me.
You think the offensive play calling was the difference in the game then?
I don't think it was a difference. I think Garrard was a difference. If he didn't make those four turnovers, because we were driving a couple of those times.
So offensive play calling and quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and in play calling, I mean, really, the one play that could have that resulted in the interception of Tyquan Underwood, it was a beautiful play call. Mm-hmm. You had the Chargers in a blitz, single high safety. The safety bites up on the run fake. The protection is perfect. The ball's just got to be thrown.
Yeah.
And it's got to be thrown sooner. I mean, that's the perfect play call. And here's the other thing. Maurice Drew, Rashad Jennings, they're going to have tough sledding all year long until David loosens them up. I mean, teams are going to come at the Jaguars' offense now. They're going to be eight in the box.
He's got to play better, no question. And I'll tell you what else would help is not allowing 477 yards of offense. That would be a good thing. You talk about stopping the run. Just stopping 400 and, keeping the opponent under 400 yards, that would help, too.
I was just about to say, I sense a lack of enthusiasm on the offensive play calling topic.
I don't view football as a video game where everyone just keeps running up and down the damn screen scoring points. I'd like to see some damn defense. I'd like to see somebody hit somebody. Hit somebody. How about that? Did anybody hit anybody in that game? Did you see anybody hit a Charger? Really smack them?
Well, I saw a few hits, but nothing that just goes, oh, there it is, yeah.
I like hitting.
I know you do.
Yeah. I'd like to see,
like other people hitting.
I like to see a Jaguar player hit a player for the other team really hard and make him think about, maybe I don't want to play anymore. Sometimes you can do that in football.
You can.
You don't have to play the chess game.
You're a little down on this team today.
I'm tired of the fans. I really am. I'm really, really tired of the play calling and the quarterback and all of the wimpy crap. I'd like to talk some football. I'd like to talk about blocking and tackling and hitting people because I'm not seeing any of it.
Well, let's try to find some callers that want to go in that direction. 355-NFL-1.
And you know what? And I'm tired of, why did he defer? Why didn't he take the ball? What does it matter?
It doesn't matter at all.
I mean, that's video game crap.
Yeah, it is.
We're going to talk about the coin toss? You give up 477 yards, and you want to talk about the coin toss?
Who wants to talk a coin toss?
The fans. That's what I got all week. I got to have 100 questions down there about the freaking coin toss.
For real?
For real. You want to go see him?
No. I believe you. The coin toss, for really.
The coin toss,
how many?
Jeff. Oh, I'll bet you 100 would be embellished, a good 50.
On the coin toss?
Yeah, I put a couple of them in and asked Vic. I mean, I figured I got to deal with it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's wow. Oh, yeah, wow, man. I mean, double wow all week long. They're killing this team and they're killing me. I'm about at the end of the line. I need Saturday to come real fast.
Folks, you have been warned. Greg joins us on the west side up next on the program. So, hello, Greg.
Let's talk about
hold
this.
Hold on, put it
let's talk about. Let's talk about buy the tickets. Let's talk about that topic.
So, Vic, how do you feel?
I feel like, I really do, I feel like the fan base was waiting for this. They were waiting for their first chance to jump the quarterback, jump the coach, and jump off the bandwagon. That's how I really feel.
To jump off the bandwagon?
Yeah. I really feel like this fan base was just waiting for
I love it that people have an opinion. It means they're fans.
I hate whining and crying.
It means they're fans. It means they're fanatics. It means they care about their team. I mean, I like that.
Oh, please. Please.
Just send all the emails to Vic.
I've got a caller for you. Let's go with Clay, who's in Riverside. Hello, Clay.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great.
Yeah, I guess everyone except for Vic sounds like he's doing okay. I guess, Vic, you know, I'm a loyal Ask Vic reader, and I can tell you're frustrated with the fans, but I just want to throw out there that, you know, you criticize us for sending questions about uniforms and coin tosses and weather.
Come on, Vic, let him finish now. Come on.
Oh, I'm tired of the whining and the crying. Come on, toughen up a little bit. You know what? We'll make next week Get Tough Week. Let's give it a try.
Hey, Vic, here, if you'd let me make my point, that then whenever we try to talk football, you tell us that we're all video game fans, we don't know anything about football, trust the GM, he's an expert. So what are we supposed to
freaking
talk about?
Genius.
We talk about the Philly stuff because that's the only thing apparently we
know
about.
What do you want to talk about? What's your bent? What is your view?
I'd say football-wise, my view would be that unfortunately we knew that defensive backfield was an issue going into this season, and we did absolutely positively nothing to address it. That would be my bent.
What would you have done to address it?
Well, I think there are two things you can do, Vic. You can either go out and get a free agent. We went out and got Aaron Campman on the defensive line.
Who would you have gotten in free agency?
What's that?
Who would you have gotten in free agency?
Obviously, we made a run at Sharper.
Yeah, they did.
And that was
it should be noted, he's not playing right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so who else?
Well, I don't think anybody could have predicted his recurrence of his injury.
No, everybody knew. Everybody knew he would be right for this part of the season.
But it's beside the point. They tried him. They tried to get him, and he said, I don't want to go there. Okay, now what else would you have done?
What else? Well, if you're not going to address it in free agency, obviously you address it in the draft.
Okay, so who would you have taken in the draft?
That's hard to say situationally based on the pick.
Well, let me help you out. Would you have taken Earl Thomas instead of Tyson Alualu?
I would have been very tempted to do that. You took the words out of my
so
mouth.
So you would have taken a safety over a defensive tackle. Jeff, is that a good idea?
Well, I don't know. I mean, time will tell.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one railing about the 470 yards, Vic, so maybe we did need some help in the defensive backfield.
But you see, it's not about this year. It's about the big picture.
I think Clay's pretty smart.
Yeah, I know what you're doing right now, but it's about the big picture. It's about the big picture. You took a guy. The Jaguars took a guy. They is a starter for them. They believe can be a long-term player on their defensive line. And I got to tell you, you can get safeties. You can get them. But the big guys, you better get them early. When you're sitting in the top 10, you don't pick safeties. You pick big guys. Jeff, you agree?
Well, if Troy Polamalu and Ed Reed is there in the top 10, I'm going to take them.
Polamalu wasn't a top 10 pick.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
Ed Reed.
I'm just saying if there's a player there that I think has that type of ability, I'm going to take him.
Okay.
Vic, you make it sound like safeties grow on trees. I've heard this from you before. Where's the tree? Let's go get one. Let's chop one down off that tree. Obviously, we need one.
Safeties are much easier to find than quality defensive linemen, premium position players. You want to draft pass blockers, pass rushers.
Corners.
You want to draft cornerbacks, quarterbacks in the top 10. I mean, you don't want to be drafting safeties. You can get those guys. If you look through the other teams in the league, look at all the safeties in the league, you're going to see a lot of what round was Darren Sharper drafted in?
Darren Sharper was a third round pick.
Was okay. he late? Yeah, I thought he was later than that.
I thought he was later than that too. But you're gonna find a lot of those guys, a lot of safeties drafted in the later rounds.
I'll look it up to verify, but I'm pretty sure it's a third round pick.
Anything else?
That's it. I just wanted to get that out there, Vic. If you only let us talk about silly stuff, we'll talk about silly stuff.
Good call, Clay. I got Clay's
hey,
back.
Jeff, you know
I got
your
Clay's
legs are
back.
Getting pretty brown.
I got Clay.
I mean, you got him on there pretty good that whole call.
You think?
Yeah.
Well,
how about a little dignity,
Vic,
huh?
I just got this bad feeling that today, you're in a really bad place.
You picked up on that?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
you're sharp.
Where's the guy?
You're
from
in
last
a bad
night?
Place. Okay, you're in a bad place. Okay, and you want to take out the anger on people who may care about the football team for no apparent reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't think that's right. Yeah. For real. I don't think that's right. I mean, you wanted to jump Clay. He had an intelligent opinion. Heaven forbid that, you know, you're going to...
I'd go get yourself something to eat on.
Jump everybody else on that tries to call our show or, you know, offend people that like to listen to our show. I mean, come on, Vic. Do you got any scotch back there? You got any? I'm not saying no. We need something for Vic.
All right, we need a break. Darren Sharper, by the way, was a second-round pick. Second-round pick in 97. We'll take this break. We'll be back. Will you? We'll find out after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
I'm going to start calling you Howard, as in Howard Cosell, because that rant...
Howard Stern.
No. You're not quite Howard Stern. Cosell, yeah.
Are you on the air yet?
Yeah, we're here, baby.
Okay, better. And that's the chair. I've told you before. It's the leather in the chair.
from the guy who's been gobbling the banana pudding down.
Now, if it was coming from your chair.
Folks, it is it's riotous in here. 355-NFL-1 if you'd like to join us, and be careful what you ask for. Ozzie joins us from the north side of Jacksonville. Hello, Ozzie.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I guess Vic is around there, right?
Oh, yeah, he's here.
No, he left.
I was hearing your radio station right now, the comments of Vic made, and it is a little bit upsetting for someone like Vic to make those kind of comments about, you know, complain about fans that are trying to support the team. But yet, he's saying that there were crybabies. Why is that? He wants to talk about, what is it that he wants to talk about if he doesn't want to talk about, you know, play calling or the quarterback, the owner, Gene Smith? What does he want us to talk about?
Well, we don't know that, but we know we don't want to talk about the coin toss. Do you want to talk about the coin toss, Ozzie?
No, we don't want to talk about the coin toss.
Do you want to talk about the play calling?
I want to talk about the play calling.
Yes, sir.
He said that he wanted to talk about tackling, the defense, but there was no tackling or any defense.
That's the problem. That's one of the big problems. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about one of the big problems being that the tackling wasn't good, that 477 yards were gained by the other team. All right? Because from where I sit, in the first half, there were 11 runs and there were 11 passes. I'm taking out the kneel down, and that's pretty good balance. I saw Jeff talked about a great play call that should have resulted in a touchdown to Tyquan Underwood. I saw what looked like it was going to be a pretty good run around left end result in a fumble where the ball was just thrown forward, you know, came loose.
Talking about Maurice's fumble?
Yeah.
Yeah, not a good play because he didn't really go where the play was designed to go, I don't think.
Well, that's a problem.
Hello.
Hello.
We got you.
But what else would you like to say?
I mean, the disappointing thing in that game, and hey, look, I understand, hey, this week's a new week. And it doesn't get any easier because you got Philly this week with a quarterback who's playing hot, and then you get Peyton Manning. Doesn't get any easier. But I was disappointed in certain players in San Diego. I think some of your big-time players are players that you expected or needed to play well, didn't play well.
I agree.
That's a problem.
The caller asked, what do I want to talk about? And let me put it this way. What I don't want to do is make every week blame the quarterback week. This was a game that blame could have been shared in many, many ways. And starting with, now this is my opinion, this is the way I feel. When your defense allows the other team on the opening possession to go down the field 80 yards in six plays, that's a really bad thing and it sets a bad tone. And it sure, and I don't know how it can happen that quickly. You're certainly rested, and you've got a good plan, and you have been prepared to play. You should be at your most greatest state of preparedness. It's the start of the game, and then it happens again at the end of the half when you have a chance to get back into the game. And the other guy, you let the other guys go 87 yards so quickly that they actually had to kill some clock to not score too quick? I got a problem with that. And I know turnovers are a bad thing, but I got a problem with soft. I don't like soft and cheesy. And that was soft and cheesy.
You're disappointed in that game, aren't you?
I'm disappointed in those two series big time. The opening one of the game and the last one of the first half. And I'll tell you something else I'm disappointed in. This guy said, what do you want to talk about? I'll tell you what I want to talk about. There was a time in the second half, I think it was, David Groer got sacked, and there wasn't one offensive lineman who helped him up. Not a one.
Now we know. Moving right along. 355-NFL-1. Greg on the west side is next. Hello, Greg.
Hey, what's up, Vic? Jeff, how y'all going?
Good.
I'm sorry to hear Vic in such a rough mood tonight. Vic, I hope you feel better, man. But I have a question. I have two of them that I'd like to hear y'all's opinions on.
Okay.
The first one is y'all talking about the team building in the draft. So here's a question for you. I'd like to hear a list from each of you. What do y'all believe is the needs on the team and in the order in which they would probably take draft priority for us to get the team to where it needs to be? Second question I'd like to hear about, you talked about Mike Vick. What do we do this week to stop the guy? I mean, we watched him in preseason. He basically, he's doing the thing that Mike Vick does. What do you do as a defense to contain him? I mean, how do we address it this week so we don't get, totally smoked again like we did in San Diego? Because I see it being another one of those real potentially catastrophic games. So
to answer the second question, with Michael Vick on the field, you got to get as much speed on the field as you can. And I'm talking up front. Because he has great speed, you got to try to match that. So you'll have some ends playing inside in passing situations as defensive tackles. The old mantra, pass rush, lane, discipline to keep it balanced. So you're not going to be as crazy in your rushes, taking chances, I guess you could say, that you could get a sack, and more to try to keep him in control. Michael Vick can't hurt you as much in the pocket as he can out of the pocket. So keep him in the pocket at all costs. That's what you got to do, and get as much speed on the field as you can. Now, needs in order. Needs of the team.
Okay.
What were yours?
They have to, absolutely have to address, and it's going to be a great year to do it, the quarterback position. They haven't drafted a quarterback since 2003. And folks, I have spoken out on this on several occasions. I advocated drafting Brady Quinn, who's a bust, and it would not have turned out right, but I advocated drafting him. I was big on drafting Chad Henne a couple years ago in the second round. That was an opportunity to draft him and not trade all those picks away to move up and trade and draft Quentin Groves, who turned out to be a big time reach needs pick, and he was a bust. Going way back, I was in favor of drafting Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, I'm sure Joe could pick up that sound bite from the draft day show. I mean, I'll stand on that one. They have to address quarterback, and it's going to be a good year for it. They have to address their secondary pass defense. Linebacker, in my opinion, is an area of major concern. Those are the three areas: quarterback, secondary, and linebacker.
355-NFL-1. I got about six tweets all asking about whether the Jaguars should either A, consider bringing Gerald Alexander back, he's on the street, or I guess the Ravens released Ken Hamlin today. And should they be looking at veteran safeties to strengthen that group?
Sure they should.
Yeah, I mean, you look at every opportunity, and if they think that Gerald can play better than what they got, then you go get him.
But it's not a long-term fix, all right? It's just a Band-Aid.
All right, we're due for news here at the bottom of the
hour. Just one quick note here. The Eagles, who the Jaguars are getting ready to play.
Yeah.
30 draft picks.
Right.
On their roster.
On their 53-man roster.
That's how you do it.
30 draft picks.
Return after news. On News Radio, WOKV, depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Welcome back. A little more than 20 minutes left in the program this evening. Phone lines are stacked, so let's get right to them. Yes.
One thing.
Okay.
Ozzie asked a question, and I'm trying to give him an answer. What does he want to talk about? Okay, here's another thing that I want to talk about. A little more in-depth conversation. The one thing that's becoming abundantly clear to us is that the Shaq Harris regime destroyed this team.
Yes.
The failures in the first round of the draft are killing this team.
First round pick in 03, 04, 05, 07, and I'll count Derek Harvey, 08, not contributors.
So, I understand the frustration, but you've got to give this general manager a time to repair what it took 6 years to destroy.
Well, tell him what the Steelers would be missing if they had those picks. You would have Polamalu.
I looked at the Steelers' drafts,
Timmons,
and frankly, their drafts are not rounds 2 through 7. They're not very good for a long time. That they've got one this year.
Yeah,
they got a beauty this year.
Right.
But 03 through 09, their drafts lacked depth. Ricardo Coakley was a bust in round 2, and Bruce Davis was a bust in round 3, and Nate Adibi was a bust in.
But
round 4.
But their ones are playing.
But their ones. Polamalu, Roethlisberger, Heath Miller, Santonio Holmes, Mendenhall, Lawrence Timmons. I mean,
what would the Steelers be
now
without
that? Now
they
got Marcus Pouncey. He's a starter already this year.
What would the Steelers be without those guys, 2003, 4,
They'd
5?
They'd be the Jaguars.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, instead of this constant harangue on the quarterback, I think we have to understand that this is going to take some time and maybe a little more. A little more in-depth conversation about where this team is.
But you know what, though? You can fail in multiple drafts if you get the man.
You got to get the money round right.
If you get the man.
Okay. Oh, the quarterback.
If you get the man.
Well, you can't get the quarterback if you don't draft one. The last one they drafted was Leftwich. That's obscene. That's negligent. For Shaq Harris to not draft another quarterback after he drafted Leftwich, it's absurd. Absolutely absurd. You don't think Gene Smith wants to do it? But 08 and 09, it just turned out, were the biggest dog quarterback drafts that you could possibly face.
And 11 just happens to be a great one.
No, that's right. You can count on next year. In fact, you might want to start counting on 2 next year.
355-NFL-1. Grab a couple of phone calls here. Let's start at the top of the board with Bill in Palm Coast. Hello, Bill.
Good evening, gentlemen. My question was for Jeff. I was going to get his thoughts on how Courtney Greene played this last weekend, and I'll take the answer off the air. Thanks a lot.
He must have graded out pretty well. He made some nice tackles. Mm-hmm. He didn't have any missed tackles that I saw. When he came up, he was physical. Mm-hmm. He had a caused fumble.
Big hit.
He had an interception. That's a pretty good day.
Mm-hmm. On the season, he's got 11 tackles, a pick, a fumble, a recovery, and a forced fumble.
And he didn't start in the opening game.
Right.
And nobody, when training camp began, no one would have ever thought that he could possibly be your starting safety.
He had a nice game.
You know, so, I mean, that's
he had a very nice game.
Gerald Alexander's gone. Reggie Nelson's gone. I mean, you know, we're down to Courtney Greene now.
By the way, you know, you said he had a nice game, and he's a guy that you think has some upside if he can get coached up.
Yeah, played well.
Rutgers the last couple of years has had a nice haul of talent.
They sure have.
I mean, we start looking at the guys.
Anthony Davis, Kenny Britt,
yep.
The cornerback McCorvey,
yep,
or McCourtney.
He was a first round pick this year
by
New England.
Yeah,
McCorvey.
McCorvey. Yeah.
McCourty.
Of course, Tyquan Underwood is, you know.
Kevin Haslam's here.
Kevin Haslam, yeah. I mean, no, they've turned out. They had we had a guy here. They cut the guard, Stapleton.
Darnell
Stapleton.
Yeah.
Guard.
Yeah. I mean, 72. Oh, Ray Rice. Let's not forget Ray Rice.
Right.
I mean, they have turned out players.
What about the guy that was a defensive tackle for the Steelers that was a guard here? Cameron Stevenson was a
Rutgers.
That's
the guy I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Cameron Stevenson. Right. And then Darnell Stapleton was a starting guard for them on their Super Bowl.
How
champion
about Bill Paquette?
There is a
name way back,
back,
but he was a good player.
Little love for the State University of New Jersey. 355-NFL-1. Up next.
You know, can we mention just bright spots? Vic, I know you're down in this funk.
Oh, Jeffrey.
No, because there was a few.
Mercedes Lewis blocked his pants off.
Dominant.
Mm-hmm.
Dominant. Is he free agent after this year?
No.
Not after this year?
No. No, he's
one more year.
He has more than 1 year remaining on his contract.
Boy, you'd like to see them get him locked up.
Mm-hmm.
He is a premier player. Had
he's
a great
the one
game.
Hit. The one hit they had, one first round hit.
He has been outstanding. Mm-hmm. Mike Sims Walker had a good game. I thought the offensive line as a whole had a pretty. Hey, folks, Uji Monroe is having one hell of a year.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is the real deal.
We get to see Sunday.
I can't wait to see him against Trent Cole and Dwight Freeney in the next 2 weeks.
How did Aloala play?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Finished with four tackles.
Average.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not talking average for him. I'm talking just average for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It was just okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there were bright spots. There was a couple. I don't want to be totally down. Jeremy Mincy played pretty well.
He's played pretty well for the last 2 weeks, hasn't he?
I think they should give him a start. I'm about ready for that.
I'm not going to argue with that. His production has been up there
mm-hmm.
when he's been in the game. Why not? You know, make the others hungry.
Yep. John joins us next from Green Cove Springs. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
For one thing, the first thing you guys, everybody needs to know is don't watch the TV and listen to the TV. Turn the radio on the way of games. If you're in the stadium, listen to the radio. You guys tell everything. It's unbelievable. My question is, what I heard about David Jones is he's versatile, that he could play safety or cornerback, and also maybe Cox doing that. And what I want to know is maybe that's something that would be great for the team, because we do have a problem in the backfield. And the other thing is the quarterback for our arena league, I thought maybe he would be maybe somebody that I'll look at. I'll take the questions off air.
All right, thank you, John. I don't know about the arena league, but if he's there, then
he's been around in the arena.
I'll leave
league
that one for you, Jeff.
He's been, I haven't seen him.
My brother-in-law, you know, was involved with those folks. That guy's been around forever.
Who is it?
Oh, not
Garcia.
Yeah, Garcia. Andrew Adams.
He's Jeff Garcia's dad.
Yeah, he's old. He's old. Yeah, let's not go there. TJ tried with me once or twice, and I just come on, TJ.
No, but let me say this though about the secondary. I mean, there are some young players that I'm really looking forward to watch develop. William Middleton's a good football player.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking just a decent player.
He's a really good special teams player.
But he's a really, really good nickelback. Got quicks. Covered Antonio Gates, and when his number got called to cover Antonio Gates, guess where he was? Right in his hip pocket. Loved the way he played the game. Michael Coe, I saw good things out of him mm-hmm. in the preseason. We haven't seen him much in the game on defense. You know, I want to see him develop. I want to see more of Courtney Green. Is what we saw in San Diego, is that the Courtney Green that we may see every week? I mean, that interception caused fumble, physical coming up. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and he's got good size for safety, 6'2", 212.
Like I said, the disappointing thing has been some of the people that you expect to play. Well, Rasheen getting beat on the double move. You know, Derek Cox, you know, not even playing.
Let me say something.
I mean, you expected
Derek
those guys to play well and play well.
Derek Cox played all through training camp, didn't miss a practice with a foot, and he had a foot injury. He would every day he would put on this compression sleeve, compression bandage on his foot. You know what those feel like. They make you feel like your foot is made of wood, all right? You literally get pain in your foot when you put those real tight bandages on.
There's no worse injury for any athlete to have, than have a foot injury.
Okay. Never said a word. Now, this is where I got a problem with that NFL don't tell policy on preseason injuries. How do you know if a guy's hurting if nobody tells? You know, now that the public, the fans can't make any, nor the media can make any kind of allowances for this poor soul. So what's the message? The message is if you get hurt, shut it down. Because if you don't shut it down,
you're going to get put down.
You're going to get ripped and you're going to get benched.
355-NFL-1. Let's take our final break of the evening, come back and wrap up this show on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
All right, we are almost done, but callers are not. Phone lines are still lit up, so let's grab a couple. Let's go out to Seattle. Is that Tim?
Tim. Yes, I'm sorry, I got disconnected.
No problem. Tim, how are you? Tim, I'm going to put you back on hold because obviously we've got a little issue coming back there with your radio. So let's grab Lou in Fernandina. Hello, Lou.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
And I'm a long-time season ticket holder and hope to be forever. But the question I have is for Vic and Philogerman. I always thought a coach was supposed to use their players to the best of their abilities. And on the radio waves in Jacksonville, on all different channels, all you hear about what Garrard isn't and that we're going to draft a quarterback. My opinion, watching him play, he's better when he's playing within his talent, which is being mobile. You know, and being a drop-back quarterback, he's not that type of quarterback. I don't think he needs to run like Brunell and get killed, but I really don't see them utilizing him to the best of his abilities.
Jeff, does he?
And I'll take it off the air, but I appreciate your honesty.
Thanks, okay. Lou.
Let's start with this, Lou and Jeff. Jeff, how old is David? 34?
34.
Does he run as well as he used to?
No, he doesn't run as well as he used to, but he still runs very well.
Okay. Where would you put him on the mobility scale?
I mean, he's probably one of the top three in the league.
Okay. Should he be getting out of the pocket more? Should he be tucking it under? Should they be doing more move the pocket stuff?
I'm kind of torn here on that question because he's mobile, and you want to take advantage of that. But when David's on the run, is he more accurate or is he less accurate?
Can I ask you one more question?
I think he's less accurate when he's on the run throwing the football.
I agree. One more question. If you were to run him more often, you would increase the chance that he would get hurt, right?
Yeah.
And then where would you be?
You'd be with a quarterback next in line that wasn't in a camp this year right now.
Hasn't thrown a pass or taken a snap in a game since 2005?
Yes.
In a game, yeah.
Game. Mm-hmm.
It's not a good thing. And you know what? That's the result of being negligent at the position for a long, long time. You have to have a constant supply of young developmental players, and you're not going to find them in undrafted free agency. That's a position that you have to be willing to strike out at. You've got to be willing to draft guys and then be bust. Because you cannot get caught empty-handed at that position. And other than David Garrard, the Jaguars right now are empty-handed
at
that
hear,
position.
What are you hearing about the practice squad guy they got?
A good arm, that's all.
Okay.
You start with that. That's a good thing to start with.
Sure.
Good arm. Big guy with a good arm. And then after that, you're going to have to build it all.
Okay.
Not ready to be a game-time quarterback.
No, but potential?
Good arm, yes. The potential for development to become a backup quarterback, yes. There, no one's saying development beyond backup, but
okay.
He has backup potential. That's a good thing. But you've got a draft now. You've got a draft. That's why I'm saying maybe next year they take one in the first round and one in the seventh round. That's a position that
maybe one in the first, maybe one in the third, maybe one in the fourth. You don't
might
know.
Be right. That's a position now that needs to be fortified, dramatically fortified. You can't run David Garrard out of the pocket because if he gets hurt, I don't think you can be competitive.
You look at the Colts roster and tell me, Peyton Manning, obviously.
They got lucky.
I know. Because it takes a lot of luck in drafting a quarterback.
They've ignored the position.
But look at the rest of their roster. And Dallas Clark, yes.
It's
Reggie Wayne.
Just another roster.
Yes, but I mean, look at the rest of the roster.
Donald Brown.
You take this offensive line.
Yeah, okay.
I think he's a good player.
But would you Rashad Jennings.
Yeah, okay. But would you? Yeah, exactly. Would you take him over Maurice Jones-Drew?
No.
Would
you take their tackles over the Jaguars?
No. You take Freeney and Mathis.
Would you? Yeah, but I'm talking about they're two offensive. Would you take Monroe and Britton over there, two offensive?
Yes.
You'd take Manning, you'd take Freeney, you'd take Mathis.
Yeah, you know.
Reggie Wayne, Dallas Clark.
There's no question.
But I don't know if you'd take Dallas Clark over Mercedes Lewis.
There's no quarterback tree out back.
It'd be a good argument.
You got to wait. Next spring, they will address this. And I think they're going to address it in multiple ways because the position has been neglected and it's got to be fortified. But there's not a darn thing that can be done now. Who's out there? Chad Pennington. I mean, can the guy throw it from here to the front door?
No. No. He was pretty good in the preseason.
Would you... of course, he doesn't know your offense. You had to bring in Bauman just to have him
you had
in
to
emergency
have
this week.
Yeah.
Someone who knew the offense. Do you consider bringing in Chad Pennington next week?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Maybe they will. If they win on Sunday, they're 2-1, and they're in this thing. Then you better consider Chad Pennington. You better consider bringing in a guy here that you can spend some time with to coach up on the offense with the idea that you might need him at crunch time in the stretch. But for right now, you had to get somebody in here who knew this offense.
No question.
Because if you lose David Garrard Sunday, I mean, you can't punt on every down.
Yeah, you know, I went back and watched that play that Luke McCown got hurt on. And I think I watched it 12, 15 times.
Hard to figure out, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't anything weird. You didn't see the leg bend at
it. And it was already a fixed ACL. It was the second time.
You could just watch it until your eyes just fall asleep and you can't see it. I mean, I just wanted to see that play so bad, you know, because sometimes an ACL, it's just a little tweak.
Yeah.
And you didn't see anything. I mean, unfortunate for him.
Yep.
I mean, I feel bad for the guy because the guy's been fighting.
Second time on the same knee.
Yeah.
How many tickets will they sell leading up to the game because Mike Vick is coming?
I have no information about lines or any kind of spike sales today.
I think I would think that he's going to sell some tickets.
He's never been here. I'm just curious, you know, okay, if you think that will drive some casual fans who may, and I'm not even talking about casual Jaguars fans, just casual fans that will want to come for the spectacle that he brings.
I want to see some Jaguar fans come and bark like dogs.
Oh, you'll see that, don't you think? You're going to see that. Someone's going to try to make themselves the story.
One of the things that we've done here, I think, in air all offseason long is we have turned a sellout into a 50,980 tickets. Right. In other words, we've taken all the seats out of this building except the general bowl
the
seats.
That count.
So we've all of a sudden adjusted the sellout, the capacity of the stadium from 67,264 to 50,900 and something. And it's wrong. I mean, it's just because you sell the general bowl seats doesn't mean you're sold out. Tebow did not sell out this place. We were 4,000 short of a sellout.
What will we see from Vic? I'm just curious if
he... Along the same lines. You're going to see the same 60,000, 62,000 tickets distributed.
Right.
That'd be my guess.
I know one thing. The press box is going to be full.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a national game. A national game. The spotlight is on Jacksonville Sunday.
Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you this weekend.